Well, hello there, everyone. Jermaine's going to welcome you all.
So welcome, everybody, to the Let's Grill Genie call. Anybody who's on the line, please, if you have a question for Genie, and it doesn't matter what it is, if it's anything regarding real estate, raising money, deal structure, sponsorship, Genie's definitely the person you want to talk to. So you hit star zero, the operator will come on, and then she'll definitely be happy to take your questions. So without further ado, it's Genie Olowski.
Hi there, everybody. So I just wanted you to know that in the future, some of the calls will be featured on Real Estate Insights. It's a podcast. And you can go to podcast@rementor.com if you want to look at them. And if you ever want to feature your business or an article or anything on our podcast, just let us know, and we will have you featured on there. So we want to welcome all the mentorship students from Denver, Colorado. It was a fantastic event. It was small, but everybody had a great time, and they really did immensely well with delivering the information. We got a lot of questions from people, which, you know, it's always good right after the event. We did all those welcome calls today. And the upcoming events coming up, we've got a couple multifamilies coming up. We have Los Angeles this weekend on May 11, 12, and 13. And next weekend we're in San Diego on the 18th, 19th, and 20th, as well as Orange County next week is the same dates, 18, 19, and 20. We also have this weekend is Minneapolis Immersion on 5/11, 12, and 13. And next week will be the Immersion in Washington, D.C. on the 18th, 19th, and 20th. So it should be really good.
Jeannie.
Yes.
The Immersion in Minneapolis was canceled.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know.
Yep, that was
scratch cute. That, everybody. I made a boo-boo. Sorry. High five goes to Michael Swan again. He's in San Diego, California. He just purchased the 34 units. The price was $1.150. He raised $525,000, and he's now up to 122 units. Congratulations to Michael. He took the course. He went to the boot camp. He got into the coaching program, and he is living the dream now. So do we have any questions? I think it's Rashawn. Is it on the call today?
Hi, Jeannie. It's Rashawn, and yes, we do have a question.
Okay.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
That's good. Our first question comes from Heather.
Dave kept you busy last week, didn't he?
Oh, yes.
That was a busy call.
One moment. Heather, please go ahead.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeannie. How are you?
How are you?
You got a property, huh?
No, I'm working on a property. I don't have one yet, but I'm called about. And hi, Jermaine. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Heather.
Good. I'm always so grateful for your weekly calls, you two, and for Dave as well. So thank you so much. So this property, Jeannie, that I'm working on is a pocket listing, and I have just completed my 5-year pro forma. So I've double checked it. I did everything correctly, except for I'm not quite sure how to handle the loss to lease. Right now, it's 16 units, and my broker says that the units could go up $100 per unit. So my loss to lease is currently $19,200. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know. The leases, everyone is on a monthly lease there, and I just don't know, like, how I should figure that for year 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, the problem is you have everybody on a month-to-month basis.
Yes.
So day one, you could have a mass exodus, Heather. I worry about that.
Okay.
These people need to be staggered. so that nobody's expiring at the same time. I mean, if I were you, I would tell the owner that you need to have units 1 through 4 on a 10-month lease, units, you know, 4 to 8 on a 12-month lease, and then the other people maybe on a 13-month lease. But you've got to have them on leases, because if not, you could be really exposed. How are you going to pay the mortgage?
Well, would it make sense then when we take, if we take over this property, to not raise the rents immediately? And I mean, we could ask the owner to do that now, and I think that's a great idea. We can do that, because this deal, the owner doesn't even want to sell until the end of the year. So thank God, because it's my first property, I'm able to take everything very slowly, which I'm appreciative of. But let's say for whatever reason he decided to keep them on a month to month. When would it make sense, when if we took it over, that we would keep the rents and slowly change, do that ourselves? I mean, we could have a mass exodus, but why would we leave unless we raise the rents, right? If we didn't raise the rent.
But here's the thing, Heather. If you're going to wait till the end of the year to buy this property, you don't know what the mortgage rate is going to be. It could be that the interest rate has risen and it prices you right out of the deal. I would ask the owner, if he doesn't want to sell it till the end of the year, if you can get owner financing, keep him on the deal, you guys run it, then you're less apt to have to raise a lot of money, and you're in on his loan until the end of the year, then you can just take over.
So I asked about owner financing. I asked our broker, and he doesn't believe that there's a mortgage on the property. And the reason why he's waiting to sell is because right in the area of the property we'd be buying, he's putting in a development of single-family homes, and he wants the money for that. So timing-wise, that's the right time for him. So I don't think owner financing is an option, because he needs all the money for this development, although I certainly can ask again and try to see if I can interest, you know.
If he owns it outright, I mean, it makes sense, because I know that he wants to probably 1031 into this new development.
Okay.
But if he's not going to develop for another 6 months, I mean, he's going to have to run this property for 6 months. Are you going to hang on for 6 months? You could be into 100 units by then.
And another question.
This will be a nuisance property for you.
And my question is he going to keep it the same price in 6 months, or if the market gets better, is he then going to raise it another $1 million or $500,000 for you guys?
Right.
You got to think about that too.
So these are very, very good things for me to think about. And I'm going to think, I promise I'm not, brushing any of this aside, but I have a question about, in general, when I do a pro forma loss to lease, on this property in particular, because I'm trying to see what my return could be. And I don't know what I can reasonably expect to do on a loss to lease, 5-year pro forma.
Well, if your loss to lease is $100 a door, when you take over that property and you go out and you meet the residents, blah, 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 you're going to let them know, listen, you're not on a current mortgage. Our business model is you need to be on a mortgage. And with that mortgage, it's going to come a pay increase. The difference from the people across the way to what we're charging is about $100 a door. I'm going to be easy on you and go $50 a door. So they know they're going to get $50 increase in rent. And then if anybody chooses to move out, the new people that move in pay the new rent.
Right. Okay. Okay. So, but I know that, I mean, Don, when we were working with Don Goff, I remember him saying that you keep something in there, right? Because you're always going to have a certain amount of loss to lease, but is there any formula or anything? And what do I just plug in there for numbers?
So a good property management company is going to have that property stabilized and all the rents are going to be comparable to whatever's around it. If you have a long-standing person that's been in that property and they pay their rent like clockwork and they have pushed back on that new rent, then you offer them a menu of gifts, maybe a new lighting fixture or maybe an accent wall or something that they're not getting right now to enhance them to want to sign with the new lease. But you can't, you're not a charity case, Heather. You're in this
yes.
to make money, and you have a commitment to your investors. You're not paying cash for it. You're going to get investors in there, so you've got to really be smart about that.
Okay, so right now, it doesn't. The property doesn't start off great. The return for the first year, based on what I have in there now, is 3%. By year five, it's up to 10.6%. But then we were looking at...
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Well, wait a minute. What about this, Jeannie? Wait a minute. One more thing. We want to do a condo conversion and sell them off. These are built as condos. So if we sold them off as condos, based on what my broker says, he's thinking that we could make a profit of $900,000. We could
right.
sell them off at $150,000.
What happens
yes.
if the economy collapses?
Okay.
And people are moving into apartments, and you're trying to condo convert. I mean,
okay.
5 years out is a long plan.
Okay.
To condo convert. If you were saying you're going to buy it and then you're going to individually, you know, separate the deeds and sell them as one-offs within the next year, I could see that happening, but. 5 years from now, you're going to turn a 16-unit into a condo conversion? I don't see it. I think it's too far
okay.
out.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to be careful, Heather, because that's what happened in 07 and 08. People
mm-hmm.
were going around wanting to do that strategy, and then they got stuck, and so they
got
had
it.
To rent them out as apartments.
Okay. So the only way that this could be a deal for me basically is if I lower my asking price significantly and get my investors' return up, whether we sell it off or not, right away. Basically. I mean, and then to better numbers right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see anybody coming into the deal unless they're worth megabucks and don't really care about the cash flow that's going to come into a deal paying 3%.
Okay.
Cash on cash right out of the gate. What's
okay.
the purchase price on the property?
They want 1.7, but my underwriting has been for 1.5.
Okay, so 1.5. You're going to have to raise $400,000 or $500,000.
Yep.
That means you're going to have 4 or 5 investors in the deal. You got
mm-hmm.
a lot of backpedaling to sell if there are any kind of Lindoff student, because they know the score, they know the Trinity, and you're not buying it with the Trinity.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
my personal opinion. I mean, I'm not the smartest bulb in the world. I mean,
you're pretty darn smart, Jeannie.
Well, I just don't know if you can sell it. You
yeah.
gotta sell
okay.
it to somebody that's got this dream or this vision that you have.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not married to this deal. I'm ready to let it go if it's not a deal. But my broker, you know, the deal is in Jacksonville. It's a really hot market. The market has tightened up so much that I've just considered letting it go and look elsewhere. But my broker was, you know, feeling like this is a great deal. And I know that, you know, part of that's just because it's his job. You know, I mean, he
Your
wants
to sell a
property.
Your broker's trying to sell a property. Yeah,
okay.
He's got a responsibility to the seller.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, super. This is actually really helpful because I, you know, if I need to let it go, I got to let it go.
Well, I just don't see. What I would do is I would pencil it out to some investors that you know and get their
okay.
take on. And I'll bet dollars to donuts it's a stretch.
It's a no. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Jeannie.
Okay. I'm sorry, Heather.
It's okay. It's okay. My heart is not broken.
I want to make decisions for you, but it just seems like a stretch.
Okay. Well, good. That's why I value your opinion so much and love these calls. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jeannie, and thank you, Jermaine.
Okay. Have a good day, Heather.
You guys are the best. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye. I think Rashawn might be.
Okay, there appears to be no further questions at this time.
Okay. All right, so I have a couple. I got one from Chris Pello in Greenwood Village, Colorado. Should I pre-qualify before I start looking for a property? And if yes, is there a lending institution I should be looking to pre-qualify with? Well, if you're buying multifamily properties, I would give Eric Stewart a call. He's pretty brilliant guy. He can let you know what you're qualified for, and whether you use him or not, his judgment is pretty valuable. So his direct line is 321-615-8919. Good luck, Chris. My next one is from Kareem Charity from Lynn, Massachusetts. Can you help me out with a couple questions, please? I'm heading into my first meeting with a multifamily owner. Really excited. The property is for 16 units. Is there anything special I need to bring with me? I have the due diligence checklist. Is there anything else? Well, if you're meeting with the owner directly, I would try to bring a proof of funds letter with you and maybe a little resume about yourself, because they're going to be interested to see what other properties you've done and whether they should give you all the financials on a property. I would also do bring a little draft about yourself and the kinds of properties that you currently buy and how quickly you can close, anything like that, because you're going to want to make them feel comfortable. Should they ask a question, you want to make sure you have the answer. Anything you want to add to that, Jermaine?
Yeah, maybe a business plan, if you have that. Like Jeannie said, a credibility kit is really good. And that's about it. And be yourself and get to know them. I think what people tend to when they go to these meetings is, what can he do for me? And, you know, and that's understandable, because, you know, you want him to work for you, but you also want to get to know them, so that way when something does come up, they'll say, oh, yeah, I remember this guy. You know, I remember so-and-so. I remember Kareem. He asked me about my kids, or he, you know, we talked about baseball or whatever the situation may be. So you definitely want to get to know them.
And he has a second part to this question. For a quick evaluation, I used a method I saw at the training boot camp, and that was to take the expenses and multiply them by 10 to get a valuation. Is this still correct? I don't like that valuation, mainly because you don't know if they're telling you the truth on the expenses. They usually have income at 110% and expenses at 30%. So, no, I don't like that, because you want to base your underwriting on actuals. So you want to ask this owner for actual rent rolls. You want year-to-date operating expenses, and you want the trailing 12s or the profit and loss for the last 2 years. If you can get even a current monthly rent roll, that is going to tell you what your income's going to turn out to be. And then if you can get the trailing 12s, you can find out what other income is coming in, whether they build back for the RUB system. There's a lot to be said for pro forma numbers, and that's what an owner or a seller is going to give you when you look at those expenses. They're not real. So, no, I wouldn't do that. Multiply by 10 to get a valuation. Okay. So my next question comes from John Burton from San Diego, California. I have a broker who is telling me that his commission in California is 6%. Is this something you have heard before? What is the average commission to pay for a broker? Who was responsible to pay that commission? Well, if it is a listing broker, the seller is responsible to pay for that commission. If it is a buyer's broker, then you're responsible, and you would have signed like a non-compete or some kind of a form with him that shows what the commission is. 6% seems a little unreasonable, but I've seen 3% and 4%. I mean, you're talking a multifamily property. That's huge. You talk about a $5 million deal, he's getting $300,000 for showing you the deal. I don't think so. So that's just my take on that one. Operator, do we have any other questions?
Yes. Next on the line, we have Wesley. Wesley, please state your question.
Well, Jeannie, and hi, Jermaine. It's good to hear your voices again.
Thank you.
You may have already answered my question, because I am talking with an agent, and he got burned just recently by a guy who came in and claimed that he was able to close quickly and do all these things, and he wasn't able to perform. And he says he's got a couple of properties that the owners have not put on the market, and they want to only deal with people who are able to perform. And so what do we do to prove that we can do that in advance? And I think the starting answer is call Eric Stewart.
Well, yes, you want to get pre-qualified, but you also want to have some kind of a credibility kit of things that you've done in the past, whether it's single family or multifamily. They want to see that you've been able to perform on a property or two. And if you don't have that credibility, you need to reach out to one of the sponsors that you met at the sponsorship event and go off of his credibility, because that's going to take you miles and miles, whereas yours might be limited and theirs is going to be a lot, take you a lot further. And they may pay more attention to you if they see that you've closed a property or two in the past. So Eric Stewart is a good resource for determining what you can qualify for. But if you already know that answer, get a sponsor, and the sponsor will work with you to get this property and make the owner feel secure that once he turns over all of the numbers, that somebody on the other line is going to be able to close on the property. So that's what they worry about. They want to make sure you can perform.
Especially when they got burned.
I understand that. Yeah. Well, it's not the guy who is holding back right now, but the previous owner was 83, and he was looking for an excuse to get out of the deal. And when the guy came back to ask for an extension on the contract on getting the money, the owner just said no. And so now the agent feels burned.
Felt burnt?
Well, he felt
agent
like
the or the owner?
Promised.
Are you talking,
the
Jeff?
The agent, I...
Right. Somehow pardon? We're mixing our... I'm talking, you're talking, I can't hear who's talking.
Okay.
Oh, it's
well,
West,
by and large,
okay.
It was... Okay.
So what were
by
you saying?
By and large, it was... I was saying that basically it was the agent who felt more burned than the seller, because the sellers put it on the market and taken it off, and we're talking about a different property with a different owner. The agent was basically saying that he didn't want to go until he could really prove to the property owner that he had somebody who could really perform. Yeah. And these are off market, but the agent knows about them. So I want
what you need to do is reach out to one of the sponsors that you met that do business in that area, or you can call me offline, and I will give you sponsors in your area. And
I'll do it.
They can perform. They can show you their business plan. They can show you properties that they've already closed, and then the agent is going to feel much more comfortable dealing with you.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Good talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Up next, we have Jenny Lee.
Oh, Jenny.
Jenny Lee, please state your question.
Hey, Jenny. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, Jenny. How are you?
Good.
How is Josh?
Josh is doing great.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I have a question, like always. So I got introduced to this, not the listing broker, but the broker for myself. Mm-hmm. Do we usually work with them, or?
Well, if it's a buyer's broker and he's working with you, you've mm-hmm. got to know if the seller's broker will not split the commission with him, that you're going to be paying his commission.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are multiple ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you really love the property, mm-hmm. you can raise the money as closing costs other to pay that broker, so that at the closing table they make sure they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But you could always ask your broker to reach out to the selling broker and mm-hmm. ask him if he'd be willing to split. And mm-hmm. if he is, then that gives you off the hook. If not, then you will be responsible to pay his commission.
Okay. So
it's not a deal breaker unless mm-hmm. it puts you under the 12% cash on cash by adding
okay.
in.
Okay, sounds good. So he has like 3 loans, and he is an investor himself as well. So he's been trying to be very helpful. He's asking how I underwrite deals.
Did you show him?
No, not yet. I'm asking you, do we show them?
Why not?
Oh, okay. Oh, because Josh is saying that when we were here with Jeff, that some lady, I think her name is Angela, broker, she said, like, don't show it. But I'm like, okay, let me ask Jeannie. So it's not
well,
a big deal if we show.
If he wants to know how you underwrote the deal that he is looking for selling,
mm-hmm.
I would show him how you mm-hmm. underwrite and let him know. Listen,
mm-hmm.
our investors are very savvy,
mm-hmm.
and they want to make sure that we meet this holy trinity number. And if we can't
mm-hmm.
meet the trinity number, then we just can't buy the property.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll respect you for it.
Oh, yeah, he already does. He thinks I know everything. He's like,
because you do.
Oh.
You do.
Totally. Like he came in at first, you know, like you look like a teenager when I went in. And then like talking about everything. He's like, oh, what's going on with this woman? So okay.
Well, what's going on with Josh? He's got gray hair and he's hanging around with a teenager. My goodness.
You're hilarious. You're hilarious. Okay, sounds good. I'll do this.
And plus, Jenny, what I was going to say is just what you just said. You know, you're educating them also of what you like. So,
mm-hmm.
and what you'll find out, and a lot of people end up finding out at the end, is that, you know, as an investor, you're a lot smarter than some of these real estate agents or brokers. And so
mm-hmm.
if you tell them what you like and what you're looking for, then they're more apt to find that for you.
I see. Sounds good. Okay, thank you both.
You're welcome. Good talking to you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
She must be picking up some calls. Jeannie.
Okay. Are you ready for the next question?
Yes, we are.
Fire away.
Okay, our next question comes from, did I release Janice? I'm not sure.
Yes,
okay.
Well, Janice's off.
Okay, Janice. Okay, one moment. Janice, please state your question.
Hi, Jermaine. How are we?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I'm very good.
What was that?
You didn't say hi to me.
I said hi to you first. Maybe she didn't completely transfer me.
Maybe
sorry.
Not. I only heard hi, Jermaine, like I chopped liver.
Don't get me in trouble.
Ladies before gents, I said hi, Jeannie, and then I said hi, Jermaine. But she was asking me she had.
I wanted you to know we closed the Hathaway on Friday. I was going to send an email out on Monday, and I absolutely slipped my mind, but I'll do it today.
Oh, wonderful. I heard from Bob Sunday night, so that's great.
Good.
Yeah, just a receipt. I received confirmation he sent me. But that's great. Wonderful.
Yep.
And I was kind of busy down in the southern end. There were two properties I went down to look at, and for some strange reason, by the time I got there, the broker, I think, did more detailed work, and they were no longer available. However, he's showing me this property, and I do have some concerns, and I'm not sure how to go forward with this. I thought it was a C area. The RE indicator says it's D. There is a lot of gentrification and stuff that's going on in the area. You have hotels being built also. Amazon just put in a distribution center. Walmart just did 64 acres of a new distribution center, and that's their phase one. This area, though, I just don't like being close to a D area, but again, the broker is going to tell you all kinds of stuff that it's on the move. This is a time to get in. The price is right. This property is not listed.
So you got to call the Economic Development Committee and find out from them directly, not the broker, not what the broker is telling you, the Economic Development Committee or Chamber of Commerce, and get the
score. Yes. That guy, I had a meeting with him, and
okay.
He was promoting the area a lot, and I realized his job is to really bring in business in the area, but he's saying, you know, one of the things that kind of caught my attention, it's close to the port, and there isn't a lot of public transportation there, but this particular area has public transportation. And so I am waiting for them to send me the rent roll, because he said he sold it to the previous owner. They're older people. They want to get out and retire in New Mexico. And he's presenting a situation to them. They came back to me with a number, which I told them until I could see their numbers, you know, their income and expenses, I fall in love with the numbers before I fall in love with the property. It's a solid property. It is well built, and it looks, it's good for the era that it's in. So my question is, it's going to take probably another couple of years for everything to catch up. Would that be something that you would recommend that I should, you know, try to get?
Yes.
I love you, Jermaine. You should. Yes. It just seems like there's a lot of potential there.
Missy, you've been in this program for a long time. You've been close. You've been in how many other people's deals? It's your turn.
Over 1,000 units.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So think about it. And all
okay.
those people that you invested with, they better be investing with you.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, get more details. Get something for you.
Thank you. You've
been through a lot of ups and downs here.
Yes. Yes, we have.
So we're looking for some ups.
Okay, well, as soon as he sends me the rent roll and the numbers, because it's not listed, so they're putting it together, I will let you guys have full view of what's going on.
We want to have full view because remember last time we found a hiccup.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, we did. And we don't want that. Okay?
You did save me from myself. Yes.
Sometimes wanting a property
Jermaine does that too.
Is the worst enemy.
Yes. Yeah, you guys have been great. I have to say, you guys have been absolutely great. And whatever I've done for coaching and what have you, you've saved me a lot more. And I totally appreciate that. Thanks a million.
I love you, my friend.
Ta-da! Okay, well, we'll talk some more about it.
All right, let me know how it goes.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. You guys will hear from me. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Next on the line, we have Jean. Jean, please state your question.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Jermaine. This is Jean.
Hi. How
are you? Good, good. I had an awesome time, by the way, in Orlando.
Good.
And, by the way, there seems to be a lot of J's on the call.
I know. Well, how about in my household? Every one of us is J's, including my grandkids.
Oh, wow, nice. Nice.
Yeah, there was seven in the same household with J's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I guess you can't call anybody by, hey, Jay. You got to call them by their
no.
name.
So how are you, Jean?
So I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Was in Richmond checking out a 200 unit, following up on that still. My question is picking up from Jenny, that was the first call. Where she said, should you work with a buyer's broker? You mentioned that it wouldn't make any difference, but if the listing agent has several offers and he has to split a commission with the buyer's agent, is he more apt to go or sway the seller to go?
Of course he is. That's not rocket science. But what I did say to her is, she should first ask the listing broker if he would split. And if he will not split and the buyer's broker brings it to her, she can, and she really wants the deal, she can compensate him by putting that cash into closing costs other so that it wouldn't come out of her pocket or her acquisition fee in the end. But, you'd really want to work with the listing broker because he knows the owner, he has access to him, he knows what the owner likes, who he's going to accept. So you really do want to work with the listing broker. But if you have this, say your brother is a broker and you want to give him a commission, you can work with him.
So let's say you have a situation where the buyer's the listing agent says, okay, I'll split the commission, but I just want to let you know that I have, like, say, 12 offers on the table. Can you choose
just
at that point to?
Yeah, I'd say, would you keep me on as a backup offer? That's what I'd say to him.
Okay, but you wouldn't do, like, hey, you know what? Hey, we'll handle the buyer's agent fee just to be competitive, as long as you said it mentions it meets the trilogy?
Yeah, but what if you've already put your offer in based on him splitting the commission and then putting that money in? It's going to drop you under the Trinity. It could be tricky.
Okay. Just curious. Just wondering in general, like, because the brokers we work with are typically, or we see on LoopNet and whatnot, are typically listing agents, and I don't know how they feel if a buyer agent approaches them, whether they'd be more receptive.
Yeah, it depends on if your agent finds you likable and he's going to want to pull for you, then you're going to want to like him too and want to make sure he gets paid. I don't know that you're going to get 12 offers in this marketplace on any one deal currently anyway.
Okay.
But you might.
Okay.
You can be persuasive. I know you can.
All right. Well, I mean, it's been interesting. You know, I think we're coming close. So, but thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yep.
You're welcome, Gene. Good talking to you.
Likewise.
Good luck.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Next on the line, we have Jenny. Jenny, please state your question.
Well, hi there, Jeannie and Jermaine. My name is Jenny Schirkenbach, and I'm calling from Surprise, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to also thank Janice, the earlier caller, for her wonderful, cute little motto, I fall in love with the numbers, not the property. I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah.
I'm calling for a little direction as to what our protocol is when we have made contact with a broker and they actually send us a deal. How do we respond to that? We had talked to a broker who had a property that was supposed to close, and he told us the date it was supposed to close, and if it didn't close, that he would pass it on to us. And so that happened. But we took about a week to crunch all the numbers and try to look at everything and to submit an LOI and all that. And when we did finally call him back, he said there were a couple more offers that had been submitted. So
you can't take a whole week to do these things. You gotta reach out to him right away, thank him very much for giving you the opportunity and tell him you're gonna work with your team and, you know, crunch all the numbers. If you can just hang tight, you love the deal, and as long as it makes sense to your investors, you're in. But to have him send you a deal and not reach out to him and let him, he's farming it out to everybody and anybody, because he don't get paid unless he closes the deal.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. Well, the deal was like a $7 million deal, and after we did all of our numbers, we were going to offer significantly lower, like 3.8. maybe going up to 4. And so we didn't want to step on anybody's toes or make anybody feel bad. And so that was my next kind of lead into, and the next question was, when he asks us what our offer price would be, do we really want to reveal that at that time?
Yep. Just say, you know, my investors are looking for a certain number. It's a 12% cash on cash return, based on the numbers that were provided, and I'm hoping that they were actuals. I can't even reach even close to it, and I'm coming up with a price of under $4 million. I don't want to insult anybody. I just want to let you know that I really am grateful that you sent that to us, and if nobody else comes up to your price, maybe you can revisit us later in the future. But don't throw us away. We just can't reach your figure at this time. Just, you don't want to burn a bridge because he gave you a good property.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Okay. I loved what you said there. That was great. All right. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you so much.
Okay, Jenny. Good to talk to you.
Yes, likewise.
Good luck.
Bye now. Thank you.
Hey, Jeannie, real quick, you might have to wait like 3 seconds before when someone asks you a question. You might have to wait like 3 seconds because for some reason there's a 3-second delay. So.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, there appears to be no further questions at this time.
I have a question from Stephen Blake from Brooklyn, New York. Is now still a good time to buy multifamily? I am just wondering because real estate prices seem to be increasing and so have interest rates. Well, you need to have a motivated seller in order to find a good deal these days. If you're just going on LoopNet or Crexy or one of those other brokerage sites, you're probably going to find things that didn't sell to their preferred clients, so they throw them up there hoping that somebody will catch it. Interest rates haven't risen that high. We're still underwriting at 5% on a 30-year with a 25% down payment. But I do think they will climb, especially since they had that tax cut put in February. I think that interest rates are going to climb up. I don't say it's a bad time to buy a multifamily because you're going to find some diamond in the rough out there. Anything you want to add, Jermaine?
I don't think it's a bad time to find multifamily properties. In fact, you know, based on, you know, what I get every week from some testimonials from students, there are people doing, we're averaging probably 3 or 4 deals a week from students who are closing these deals, and not to mention the ones who have deals under contract. So, so people are out there finding the particular deals. I think what's happening is that people are just looking for, you know, they're finding a deal and it doesn't meet the Holy Trinity, and, you know, they're kind of panicking. And so that's when, you know, your coach gets involved, and or myself or Jeannie and Paul, we get involved and we show you how to make that deal a deal, so that way you can make a qualified offer to the broker. Make sense?
Makes sense to me. My next question is from Howard Green. What is the easiest way to calculate a cap rate? So you're going to take the yearly income, the gross scheduled income, on a piece of property, and you're going to base it on your rent rolls so that it's pretty actual. And then you're going to subtract the operating expenses from it, and then divide the income by the property's purchase price, and that should give you a cap rate. But I'd rather see you put it into the underwriting template and have that give you the actual cap rate than figure out this calculation, because what if they don't give you the operating expenses the way they're supposed to? Then your cap rate is going to be out of whack. It's going to give you like this extended 15% cap rate when it probably is more like an 8% cap rate. So I don't really like the way they figure that, but I mean, some people do it that way, brokers do it that way, but I like to work off of the actuals. Anything you want to add to that, Jermaine?
No, I agree with you. I'd rather work on actual numbers.
Yeah.
That way it gives me a better understanding. Because how many times have you done, even when the earlier question, when the guy was asking about the 10 times the expenses to get an evaluation, even how many times have you done, looked at the expenses and then looked at the, when you've done the underwriting and it just doesn't make any sense, there would be no way you would even offer that price based on the expenses. So,
right. I mean, I did a property this morning, and the income was 105%, and the expenses were 28%. You know that's not true. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense that somebody would even give you that garbage to put into an underwriting template. You can just bird's eye view it and know that they just don't make sense. So that's why I like actuals. If I can work off actuals all day, all night, it's a little bit more work, but I'd rather work off the actuals than guess.
Yep.
Any other questions, operator?
Yes, Jenny Lee had another question. Jenny Lee, please go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I got to keep you working.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, well, so I got this multiplex a little bit smaller, and there was one and the other side by side. The cap rate wasn't good. It was like 3 or something really bad. But the other unit was charging, it was fourplex, charging like much less. They didn't increase the rent at all. So in that case, do I go in even with 3 cap, or do I underwrite it to see how much it'll go when I raise it up to market rate?
Well, first of all, a fourplex, it's a one single fourplex.
Yeah.
It's not even commercial.
Oh,
it's not
yeah.
commercial. It's more residential.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you've got to base it on what the cash-on-cash return is based on income coming mm-hmm. in minus expenses. I mean, you probably won't have any payroll. You won't
mm-hmm.
have a property management company because you'd probably hire a local real estate agent to, you know, collect the rents and do things like that. Or maybe, you know, if it's near your home, you could do it yourself. But
okay, so
the numbers aren't going to be the same.
Right. So I don't go for fourplex. I'm only asking because, like, just in case if there is a property has that, like an apartment, a commercial building with more tenants in it, and if they have a lower they're not getting as market rate rent, do I even consider it, or?
Jermaine, I wasn't listening 100%. Can you answer that for me?
Do I need
sorry,
interpreter
Jenny.
Like Jeff?
You know what? I was reading somebody's email to me.
Say the question again. I'm sorry, Jenny. Cause...
Okay, I obviously need some interpreter. my question
intervention.
Is, so yeah, fourplex, I don't think it makes sense to me at all, especially it was a distance away. It was nearby my in-laws. But what if I have like 100-unit building apartment that they haven't raised the rent? With the cash flow now, I only get like 3 cap or 2 cap. However, the rent needs to be raised. Do I go into those kind of deal or not?
Yes, but here's how I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it, okay?
Okay.
So one of the things that you're going to do, and this is going to be important when you talk to investors and your sponsor also, is that you're going to have to do a 5-year projection. And how you do that is you increase expenses by 2% for
mm-hmm.
each year, and you
mm-hmm.
increase income by 3% for each year. And that will determine whether or not what the property is going to look like after 5 years.
Oh, okay. Income 3% and expense 2%? Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. And then that will tell you whether or not it's worth pursuing or moving forward with if it doesn't completely meet the Holy Trinity. I'm not telling you that you
mm-hmm.
want to go for it if it doesn't meet the Holy Trinity. I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
if it has some value plays because the rents are too low, then that will determine whether or not you want to
okay.
move forward.
Okay, yeah,
you're looking
good.
For at least a 20% annualized return, and if you can
uh-huh.
get that, then you're golden.
Uh-huh. Okay, awesome. I have one other question. So the broker that I was talking to, he said there's a program that he uses to find like a specific area, names of the commercial property,
owners, and then like a likelihood that they're going to sell the property and stuff like that. Do you know anything about it, Jeannie or Jermaine?
I think I know what he's talking about, but I don't want to say the name of it.
Costa.
That's what I'm thinking. But I mean.
It doesn't say the likelihood that they will sell.
Okay.
But Costa is a very expensive program.
I see.
Yeah, we were looking at them as far as, you know, for certain aspects, and I think they wanted to charge like $5,000 a month, depending on the types of locations.
I thought it was 50.
Was it 50? I think it was 50 for the year, but I think it was $5,000 a month or something.
I don't know.
Some
Jeff
ridiculous
said it
number.
Confirmed, but it was like we wanted the whole country. I thought it was 50 a month.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was expensive.
Stupid.
Okay.
Really stupid.
Okay, I won't do it, Jeannie.
Don't do it.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You
too. You're
welcome.
There are no more questions at this time.
Okay.
Oh, this is great, Jeannie, because we're getting close
we're
to 2 o'clock.
To the top of the hour. My last question is actually the same as my first question. It's by two different people. So should I get pre-approved for a loan by a bank before I start looking for multifamily properties, or should I wait once I have a property? Well, in the back of your mind, I think everybody, every single citizen in America pretty much knows what their net worth is. So you know whether you're going to have to get a sponsor or not get a sponsor, whether you go get pre-approved or not. You know in your mind how much you can qualify for. And if it's, you know, $500,000, that means you've got to buy properties under the 750 mark. So what you're qualifying for is the mortgage amount. So if you're looking, I mean, this guy's in Washington, D.C., you're going to get a small property. You know, if that's what you're looking for, you probably can qualify yourself. But if you're really looking for multifamily properties of size, you're going to have to get a sponsor to qualify you for the mortgage. And just like I told the first guy, who was Chris, you can call Eric Stewart, and he will let you know. His phone number again is 321-615-8919. He's a great guy, very knowledgeable, knows the ins and outs of sponsorship, and he can let you know what you can qualify for. So it's 2 o'clock, top of the hour. We want to thank everyone for being with us. Again, reminder, go to podcast@rementor.com. And in the future, when you have Dave on the line, he will be featuring this Real Estate Insights podcast. And if you want to advertise your business up there, there'll be forms up there that you can do that too. Everyone, have a great day. I look forward to speaking to each and every one of you. And go invest.
Oh, good luck, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.